Well, a few years ago, one of my sisters sent me a picture of a three-headed snake. I don't like snakes as it is, but three heads. It was a scary sight. But I was completely relieved to see the next picture she sent, which was the same thing from a different angle. See, actually, it was an Atlas moth, which disguises itself to perfectly look like a nest of snakes. Wonder how that might happen. It was incredible. It's beautiful, but scary. Surprising. This morning, we're going to be focusing on something that Jesus Christ said, which is infinitely more incredible and exciting and stunning than that. It's about the rescue mission of Jesus Christ. It shows us some staggering truths about who God is. And I really hope that you see that by the time we're done. How God is incredible. So please just come to verse 37 of Matthew 23 with me again. Jesus said this. He said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you are not willing." You see, Jesus cares intensely for those who have rejected him again and again. He wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth, to be saved under the wings of God. That's what he wants. Well, in Matthew 23, we've come to just the last few events before the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. He's already entered Jerusalem in triumph with an overwhelming royal welcome. And one of the last things that he does publicly is deliver seven woes to the religious leaders, people in charge. And when you see that word woe in the Bible, it's not the word that we might use if we see some amazing scenery, maybe at the Grand Canyon, you say, whoa. Think of a situation of total devastation. Perhaps you see all the burned houses in California, or a display of 80,000 shoes in Auschwitz. Whoa. Jesus sees the way the religious leaders of his day were behaving, and he calls out their hypocrisy, but he sees where it's going. He sees both the devastation they have caused, and he sees the devastation they are heading to. And he says, woe to you. He reminds them of the historic and repeated rejection of the prophets, those God had often sent to his own people to turn them away from their sins and to believe in him. And then Jesus laments over Jerusalem, verse 37. He says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He is deeply saddened here. God had promised, you know, all of the nations on earth will be blessed through Israel. And Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. That's the place that God's blessing was meant to spring from, and great rivers would flow out metaphorically to bless the world. But instead it became a place, Jesus says, that kills the prophets and stones those who were sent to her. The people of Jerusalem, they were continuously not willing to listen or to obey God's prophets. They fell far short of God's purposes for them. And this happened not just once, but again and again and again. That's the context of one of the most stunning things Jesus says, in my view. I'm just going to unpack it in two parts. The first is this. Firstly, Jesus Christ longs for sinners to come to him for salvation. Jesus Christ longs for sinners to come to him for salvation. Those who have rejected him and keep failing what he has planned for them. Just come to verse 37 again. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Don't know if you've ever seen chicks being gathered under the wings of a hen. You might YouTube that later, but you might lose some hours of your life. I'd avoid it. The chicks just, they disappear into their mother. The chicks run to the hen under the wings and they disappear. They are one. They receive the warmth and comfort of the one who loves them most. You know, we should be stunned here. We should. Jesus is speaking about the people who have repeatedly rejected God, who've repeatedly killed the ones God sent to them. They weren't willing to come to his open arms of love. And so he laments for these people, precious to him. They weren't willing to come, even though he longed to gather them repeatedly under his own wings, like chicks being gathered under a hen's wings. Do you see how Christ loves his people deeply, intimately? Do you see that? The Bible often uses the picture of wings as a picture of God's salvation. And it's the same in our passage. Accepting Jesus' wings here is a picture of salvation. You'll notice in verse 38 that rejection of Jesus' wings, rejection leads to desolation. The opposite of salvation. So Christ's invitation of salvation is like a mother hen longing to gather her chicks together. And this is the imagery that Jesus chooses to give us for how his heart is towards us. He is incredibly compassionate towards people who have repeatedly rejected him. And not only politely, no thank you God, I'm all right. They killed his messengers. Jesus longs for those aggressively railing against him to come to him for compassion and salvation. That is the heart of Christ, friends. And that is amazing. That is amazing to me. Perhaps you have shared the gospel with someone over and over because you care deeply about their salvation. But they are just not willing to listen to you, and that breaks your heart. I just want you to know this morning, your heart is very close to the heart of Christ there. In John 3:16, that famous verse, Jesus tells us that God sent his only son, not just so that the people of Jerusalem would be saved, but whoever believes in him, the whole world will be saved and have eternal life if they believe in him. And I want you to see here that the people of Jerusalem weren't just offered salvation once, but again and again and again. And you know, like with all people, eventually there becomes a point when there is no more chance to repent. None of us know when that day will be. I don't. Friends, there are people who have sat in your very seats who have run out of time. They did not turn to Jesus before the time ran out. Friends, you still have time. You still have time. Jesus came to save sinners, and he longs for us to come to him. He is full of patience and grace and compassion. He knows that lots of people will sadly reject him. But while there is still time, the mission of God through his church is to reach out to the lost so that they can hear and be saved from the coming wrath, the anger and judgment of God. And friend, if you think that what you've done in your life is too big, too bad for God to forgive, I want you to remember Jesus stretches out his wings to those who murdered God's prophets. The very people he offered salvation to. God sent his son to rescue sinners. His sacrifice was of infinite value. It covers the deepest and the darkest of all sins, totally wipes them away if we repent and believe in him. You know, Jesus Christ's incredible parental love and grace is completely consistent with God's character revealed in the whole Bible. In the whole Bible. First, I want you to know that God, in the Old Testament, we see very clearly, wants to show mercy. Hosea 6:6 says this, "I desire mercy and not sacrifice." Mercy is what God delights in. It's what he desires and longs for. Mercy is a part of who God is. Exodus 34:6-7 says it's the first place in the Bible that describes God's character. It's the most quoted passage in the whole Bible. And it says this, this is what he says, the Lord is a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in faithful love and truth, maintaining love to 1,000 generations, forgiving iniquity, rebellion and sin. But he will not leave the guilty unpunished, bringing the consequences of the father's iniquity on the children and the grandchildren to the third and fourth generation. Friends, the character of God is overflowing with grace and mercy and compassion. See how he shows love to 1,000 generations, but only punishes to the third and fourth. God is showing that he does not lean equally to both mercy and judgment. Don't know what you think God is like. The Bible tells us he loves mercy. He must punish all sin, he must, but he is waiting extremely patiently for you to listen to his voice and to turn to him for forgiveness of sins. God's just judgment is held back, the Bible describes it, like a dam with water that is building up behind it. He's restraining his righteous judgment so that you have a chance to turn to him and repent. Secondly, I want you to know from the Old Testament that's very clear is that God does not delight in bringing judgment. He doesn't delight in bringing judgment. Now, the Bible doesn't play God's judgment against his mercy. He does delight in bringing about judgment. He does delight in bringing about justice. But he doesn't delight when human beings have to face the consequences of their sins. That's why he delays the punishment so much. Just imagine the son of a judge commits some awful crime. And his son is brought before him for judgment. He has to bring judgment. He has to. He has to punish his son because that is the right thing to do. That is the just thing to do. But ultimately, in and of itself, bringing real justice is a delight to himself. Do you see that also, though, what kind of father would delight in his son facing judgment? Even though it was deserved. God tells us in Ezekiel 18:23, "Do I take any pleasure in the death of the wicked? This is the declaration of the Lord God. Instead, don't I take pleasure when he turns from his ways and lives?" Judgment is what God must bring on sinners who refuse to turn away from their sins and come to him in faith for forgiveness. God is a perfectly just God, but we must be clear, he takes no delight in inflicting punishment in and of itself. God must punish sin, but he desires mercy. If you're not a Christian this morning, you need to know you're in danger. You are living in open rebellion towards the King of the universe, who has limitless power. You've rejected him from the throne of your heart and the just judgment waiting for you on the day when God will judge the world is coming because God must bring judgment for sin. If that day comes before you come and hide under his wings, that day will be a terrible day for you. But for now, he has his wings open to you, so that you might come for protection from judgment. He is eager to save you from his sins, from your sins, no matter how terrible they are. If you willingly come to him, repenting and believing in him, he will save you. If you are a Christian this morning, why not spend some time, perhaps this afternoon, maybe later on in this week, just to meditate on the incredible grace of the Lord. He has been so gentle and kind and compassionate with you, hasn't he? He stretched out his wings and invited you to come under his protection, shielding you from the coming judgment of God. And here's a question to reflect on perhaps as well. Do you, like Jesus Christ, leave generous room for repentance and grace with those who hurt you, rather than wanting them to be punished quickly? Jesus Christ cares intensely about all people, more than any earthly human parent imaginable. Jesus Christ longs for sinners to come to him for salvation. And I want you to see next how Jesus Christ gathers sinners under his wings and how he is doing that even right now. Okay? So secondly, he calls his people through the preaching of his word. He calls his people through the preaching of his word. Just come to verse 37 again. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Jesus is telling us that to reject his salvation is like a chick rejecting the open wings of their mother, beckoning them to come for protection. And the Bible tells us very clearly, Romans 10, for example, how it is that people are beckoned to him for salvation. It's through the preaching of his word, the Bible. So you see, the image of Jesus opening his wings to sinners is actually a picture of what it's like every time God's word is opened towards his people to hear. Salvation only comes from hearing the word of God. And so someone can only receive salvation by accepting God's word. A few months ago, I was leading family worship after our evening meal, and I was talking about exactly this. And then Judson asked me, he said, "Daddy, is this why you and Mummy talk about Jesus so much?" I said, "Yes. We want you to know him, son. You need to know him." See, being a Christian parent does not guarantee Christian children. God doesn't promise that our children will believe. Sadly, there are lots of godly parents. They do all the right things. They're brilliant examples. They teach their children the great truths of God diligently. And yet their children still refuse the wings of Christ. But, and here's the thing, if we don't speak of Christ, they won't hear Christ. If we don't speak, they will not hear. If our children see that Christ and his body, the church, are absolutely a priority in our lives, they're far more likely to take his word seriously, aren't they? Of course, the opposite is true. And that's why Pete and Gillian, all the youth leaders in Tim's life, so openly shape their lives around Jesus Christ. I'm sure they would want me to qualify that. They are human. They're not perfect, just like all of us. But they really do love Christ. And they speak about him openly. They open the Bible regularly together. And although none of that guarantees anything, it is why Tim has heard the voice of Jesus Christ. It is why. And by God's grace, he was given faith and repentance of his sins to run to the open wings of Christ for salvation. Praise the Lord. Well, sadly, when Jesus walked on the earth, the people of Jerusalem rejected the wings of salvation, his word, which he preached so that sinners could come and be saved. But just come to me, come with me to verse 33 here. We're just going back to the beginning of our reading. Jesus is speaking to the hypocritical religious leaders here. And listen to what the open wings of Christ look like. Snakes, brood of vipers, how can you escape from being condemned to hell? This is why I am sending you prophets, sages, and scribes. You see, Jesus overflows with mercy for those approaching God's punishment. How can you escape from being condemned to hell? He says, not you are condemned. How can you be saved from hell? And then in verse 34, he says, this is why. Because of the immense danger that you are in, therefore, I am going to send you messengers who will call you, plead with you again and again to come to safety. Can you see the thing Jesus extends to these corrupt religious teachers to draw them to salvation? What is it? Prophets, sages, and scribes. In other words, Jesus is going to send the word of God to them. He's going to open his wings to them. The only hope of salvation for anyone is through the word of God being spoken. Friends, this morning, as the word of God is being preached right here, as you are reading his words for yourself, in fact, whenever the word of God is being opened, you are experiencing the open wings of Christ. You know, God is eager to save sinners. In Isaiah 65, we're told of the way that he spread out his hands all day long to a people who were stubborn and stiff-necked. That's what we're told. He said, here I am, here I am. Come for salvation. You see, God is tirelessly calling out to grab our attention so that we pay attention and come to him for salvation. Just listen to Jeremiah 7:13. I have spoken to you time and time again, but you wouldn't listen. And I have called you, but you wouldn't answer. You know, God didn't literally speak to his people time and time again. It was his prophets who preached his word. But God shows us that he's doing something very personally when his word is preached faithfully. The prophet's words are his words. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, and you've heard God's word preached time and time again. You've not been listening until now. God is calling you right now to come to him for salvation. I hope you're asking by now, how though? How? How can Jesus Christ actually save sinners though? I deserve God's punishment. How can coming under the wings of Christ save me? Well, in the words of a song that we love to sing here, by dying on the cross, Jesus stood before the wrath of God, shielding sinners with his blood. The only way our sin and guilt could ever be dealt with without us being totally ruined is if we are joined to the Lord Jesus Christ so closely that in God's sight, pouring out his wrath on Jesus is as if it is being poured out on us. We must come under his wings for salvation. The wrath we deserve falls on him. The price is paid in full. Only the perfect God-man, Jesus Christ, could do this, laying down his life for sinners, for the sins of all of his people. But you know, because he is God, it was impossible for death to defeat him. And 3 days later, he burst from the tomb forever. Anyone who turns from their sins and believes in him will be saved from the coming wrath of God. And right now, he is holding open his great wings of salvation for sinners everywhere, all over the world. They're open towards you. Will you come under his wings? This morning, by being baptized, Tim publicly declared that he is a sinner who has come beneath the wings of Christ for salvation. If that describes you, friend, too, and you haven't been baptized yet, please do speak to one of the leaders here. We would love to have a conversation with you. Jesus cares intensely, even for those who've rejected him again and again, even violently. He wants all people to be saved, to hear and believe the good news of salvation, to come under the wings of Christ.